we consecrating for service part two. We begin with the four thoughts last week. Preparation, the work of purification from verse 5 to 8. The presentation, the Levites were brought before the Lord from 9 to 11 and before the congregation of God's people, where they laid their hands upon him, as it were, consecrating them for the service. And the purification for consecration, verse 12 to 14, and verse 15 to 19, we saw the purpose, how the Levites were the representative for the firstborn of Israel. Today we are at 5 and 6, practice, verse 20 to 22, and the period of service from verses 23 to 26. The practice, verse 20 to 22. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. The preparation for service is just as involved and intense as the service itself. With good preparation, there will also be a proper preparedness to the rigors of the work of the service. With the preparation completed comes the consecration, where the Levites are inaugurated for service. The ceremony or the preparation consisted in sprinkling with water, as we saw, shaving the body, washing of their clothes, after which they had to stand before the tabernacle, and the whole congregation of Israel had to put their hands upon them. We noticed that the priests need not shave, as we saw last week. The Levites are commanded to be shaved as part of the purification process. The water of sprinkling and razor were administered to them by others, and they washed their own clothes. And once again, we see here, right, the process by which one is brought in contact with God through a process of purification. What Christ had done for us, his work of atonement allows us to be cleansed and purified so that we can draw nigh to God and to serve Him. The Levites must first be cleansed, and the rites and the ceremonies of their cleansing were to be performed by themselves. So we saw they wash their clothes, not only they bathe, but they shave. There were great pains taken to ensure that there is a proper preparation. One who seeks to walk with God must first find ourselves in a process of self-searching and mortification of sin. We spend time to examine ourselves, and at the same time to let the Spirit of God work in our hearts, a work of repentance, a work of purification, where we can be prepared to be a vessel clean for the Master's use. So you see here Moses sprinkling of the water for purification. Here you see that in the preparation, it's not just the outward cleansing of water, but rather the inward purification of a repentant heart is acceptable to God. Then we saw also the graphic ceremony, where the Levites were set apart to take the place of Israel in their ministry. the Israelites were to bring the Levites before the Lord and lay hands upon them. This gesture that we saw was instructed by the Lord. And then the Levites themselves were instructed to lay their hands upon the heads of the bulls that we saw last week in verse 12 as a sin offering and a guilt offering to make atonement for them. So we say that although it's a routine practice to offer sacrifice, right, there is a need for that preparation. And so the person offering would press on their hands on the sacrifice, and at that time, is as it were, right, the sins were transferred, right, to that animal. And the work of Christ that we have just remembered, Good Friday, how the Lord did the work of atoning for the sins of His people through His blood sacrifice. He died for our sins. And that process by which Jesus was that sacrificial lamb on our behalf was, as it were, enacted in this drama of the consecration of the Levites that we read here, so that we would understand that no man can draw near to God without that process of purification. If our hearts are not ready, if we are not prepared, how can we be of useful? I take example of going for a visitation to see someone. Right? The person who is going would have to make preparation, understand the needs, pray the Lord to grant wisdom, how to be able to be of a service, be of a help, right, to the person that we would visit. But if our hearts are not prepared, if our lives are in itself in a confused state, then you'd find that we are not in a position to do anything. Right? There's no, the heart doesn't bring the feet to the work. But where there is proper preparation, consecration, there is proper understanding, then there is also a benefit, right, in which both the visitor and the person visited would experience the grace of God, right, the sanctifying peace of God coming upon His people as they would meet to pray together, to admonish, exhort one another in the things of God. So here you see the Levites are tasked being prepared, brought before the Lord in a solemn assembly of all Israel, and the children of Israel must put their hands upon them, right, transferring, we said, their interest in them and their service, as Ian Dugard said well. And they presented them to God as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, to perform a reasonable service. And so here we see the work being done, verse 22. And after that went the Levites to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded them concerning the Levites. So did they unto them. So there is there is the preparation process, then there is the proper consecration for the work, and then the doing of the work it's going to be a lifelong process. This will be a lifelong work. The assignment would be made for the task that they are consecrated to do for the service of the tabernacle. It would require discipline, spiritual stamina to keep at the good work. Galatians 6 verse 8 and 9 says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." As we should not excuse ourselves, Matthew Henry says, from any part of our duty, so neither do we grow weary in it. So we need to be prepared ourselves, right? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, we need to mentally, we need to be prepared so that our focus, our heart would be wholly devoted to that work, that task that is before us. There is in all of us too great a proneness to this. We are very apt to flag and tire in duty. Right? We may begin very zealously with lots of zeal, but as the time goes on, you find that the zeal becomes a little bit waning, right? And perhaps the zeal would can suddenly stop. So here we are speaking about how that consecration for the work once begin. It's a day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out work. Without, as it were, without relief. Yea, to fall from it, Matthew Henry says, particularly that part of it to which the apostle has here a special regard, that of doing good to others. This, therefore, he would have us carefully to watch and guard against. He gives this very good reason for it, because in due season we shall reap. So in our service for the Lord, there is a element of reward to the faithful servant. And the Apostle Paul highlights for us so that in the course of our work, we will not lose sight of the reward that is before us. Paul says, "I press toward the mark," as if as a athlete, you know, completing the race, not completed yet, but the finishing line is there, and so to press on, to press forward. If we faint not, where he assures us that there is a recompense of reward in reserve for all who sincerely employ themselves in well-doing, that this reward will certainly be bestowed on us in the proper season. If not in this world, yet undoubtedly in the next. But then, that it is upon the supposition that we faint not in the way of our duty. If we grow weary of it and withdraw from it, we shall not only miss this reward, but lose the comfort and advantage of what we had already done, Matthew Henry says. But if we hold on and hold out in well-doing, though our reward may be delayed, yet it will surely come and will be so great as to make us an abundant recompense for all our pains and constancy. So here, when we said the consecration begins, the work to be sustained. Perseverance is there, needful in well-doing. So he says, Matthew Henry, that it is our wisdom and interest to persevere in well-doing, as well as our duty. For to this only is the reward promised. So here you see, for the Levite, we come to the next thought, the period, 23 to verse 23 to 26. It's a long time, 25 years of service. They would begin at the age of 25, and they would retire at the age of 50 from the active service, the work. The time of their ministration, right, here we say, is fixed. They were to enter upon the service at 25 years old, and they were not charged with caring of the tabernacle and utensils till they were 30 years old. So they begin, right? But the actual, the preparation begin, right, from age of 25, but they will not take on the key task in the tabernacle till they were 30 years of age. So Numbers 4, verse 4 to 16 describes for us this work of one of the sons of the Levi, Kohath, in the congregation, in the tabernacle of the congregation. So here, verse 4 says this, that they would begin this, they would begin this work. And Numbers chapter 4 and verse 4 here tells us, and this shall be the service of the, of verse 3, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. So verse 3, is not given there in your notes. Verse 3, 30 years old, upward, until 50 years old. So you see here that period of 20 years. That there is that preparation, but there is also the actual work that begin at 30 years old. Here you see verse 4, what is the work that onwards, the work that they will be doing. And this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. When the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and put on thereon the covering of badger's skin, and spread it over a cloth holy of blue, and shall put in the staves and the table of showbread. They shall spread a cloth of blue and put on the dishes and the spoons and the bowls, and cover to cover, and the continual bread shall be, and they shall spread over them a cloth of scarlet. So this is a keeping of the tabernacle, right, in which they are involved. And they shall take a cloth of blue, cover the candlestick of light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil and vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it, and all the vessels thereof, within a covering of badger's skin, and put it upon a bar, and upon the golden altar. They shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skin, and shall put it to the stave. So you see here a lot of work to be done, right? Very menial work. They make that preparation, go into the sanctuary, cover those items, and prepare them to be transported. And they shall take all the instruments of the ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in the cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skin, and shall put them on the bar, and they shall take away the ashes of from the altar, and spread purple cloth thereon, and they shall put it upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it. You see, there are so many things, right? Task to be done, and they would be assigned. Right? They would be assigned not one to do all the tasks, but each one to do a proper task. And you see that it's a responsible task, right? What if you cover it? Then by the time you know you're supposed to set up the tabernacle again, you find the item missing. What happened to it? Someone has been derelict in the duty. Could it be? Can it happen? Well, if that someone is not putting the heart and the soul to the work, or a little bit drunken, it can happen, right? A slip of the mind, a slip of the hands. So one of the spoon is missing, one of the gold spoon is missing. So you see here that in the work that we are speaking about, there is a need for a conscientiousness to the work, to ensure that all the things are properly done. So they entered to be otherwise serviceable, Matthew Henry says, at 25 years old, a very good age to begin public work. The work then required that strength of body, and work now requires that maturity of judgment and steadiness of behavior, which men rarely arrive at till about that age. And novices are in danger of being lifted up with pride. So here you see that they will need to reach a certain age of maturity, age of accountability, before they are assigned certain responsible tasks. They were to have a writ of ease at 50 years old, right? Because the work is quite physically demanding, draining. So by the age of 50, right, for our folks, we all, some may understand that by the time as a person ages, you find that your physical faculty, your mental faculty, your may slow down. So you take a task that you know you could be doing very quickly. As a person ages, it takes a little bit more time. Take a little bit more energy. So they shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle to direct the junior Levites and set them in, and they shall keep the charge as guards upon the avenues of the tabernacle. So those which are over 50, well, they do have a work to do also, right? And they keep the charge as guards upon the avenues of the tabernacle. So they may not be doing the task, but they are at hand to observe. Hey, you know, you drop something. Oh, yeah, there, that one has to be done in this way. So here, you see it in that way, to see that no stranger intruded or any person in his uncleanness, but they shall not put on any service which may be a fatigue to them. Right? It's quite true, isn't it? With age, certain things, menial, certain tasks would be more challenging. If grace provide that men shall have ability according to their work, men's prudence should take care that men have work only according to their ability. The aged are most fit for trust and to keep the charge. The younger are most fit for work and to do the service. Those that have used the office of a servant well purchase to themselves a good degree. Yet, indeed, gifts are not tied to ages, as Job says in Job 32, verse 9. great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. But here, God is the one who gives the spirit to the work, and therefore, you see here, the work, the affair of the Levites are settled. Thank God for raising men and women for His service in the church. Amen.